started in low, then it started to grow. Sounded glad. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch with his Grinch.
Ho, ho, ho! Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions your local comic book shop.
Of course.
And we're podcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station. Thanks to us.
Thanks to us, yep. That's
and
right.
Podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. I am Walter DeRaglia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And Chris and I are going to bring you good cheer.
Good cheer throughout the year.
Throughout the year, especially this festive season.
Did you like that intro there from...
Yeah, don't tell me.
Okay, I won't.
Don't tell me.
All right.
That wasn't Star Wars.
No, it was not.
It was Mr. Bean.
No.
Let me have a second guess.
Okay, you get a second guess. I'll be a little surprised if you don't know who this is.
That's Dr. Seuss.
It is Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss, not Dr. Zeus.
Dr. Zaius.
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius.
Dr. Zaius. Chris, it's the Jiminy Christmas thing.
Yeah, that's it. The Jiminy Christmas, the cricket who stole Christmas.
Is it the cricket who stole Christmas?
That's the one, yeah.
I was close.
Yeah, it's the Grinch.
The Grinch who stole Christmas. Okay, oh, I would have got it.
You were close.
I would have got it.
They're both green.
I would have got it after you told me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Wonderful.
And it sets the mood perfectly. I think we're gonna have, this is our last show of the year.
Last show of 2018. Unfortunately, we're not around next week.
Well, we have all the Christmassy holiday
stuff. We got too much stuff to do.
It's way too much stuff.
Yeah, we're busy people.
We're on a book signing tour, you and I.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? If we could pause and reflect this year, you know, all the wonderful times we had.
Wonderful. Chris, it's always a slice working with you. We'll continue working together next year.
In January, yeah.
In January when we come back. But right now, we still have a show to do.
We do.
We're going to...
Getting a little melancholy here.
I know. I'm going to get a little clamped in the throat there. I need a little
club soda
here to wash that down.
Speaking of club soda, we do have our new this week. So do we have a sponsor for club soda this week? Or club soda sponsor, rather?
Absolutely. We have... this week, new this week, brought to you by Santa's Workshop Club Soda.
Santa's Workshop Club Soda. They do great work.
They do great work. And those poor elves need that club soda kick.
You know what?
To get them through the day.
Through the day. And then especially on Christmas Day, after Christmas Eve, and delivering all those presents and all
that.
It's all done. Yeah, that's right.
That's, of course, if Mrs. Claus didn't get into it first.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the elves make lots of it. So let's go into new this week. I got to talk about this one. This is the big one, probably one of the bigger ones. There's actually a lot of books this week. In all honesty, normally I'd say there's like about 3,000 or 4,000.
Uh-huh.
There's got to be at least 10,000 new books.
This week.
There's
a lot of
easily
books.
Easily double. The one that's probably going to make the most news even though it really shouldn't, mm-hmm. is going to be the sequel to The Batawang, which is Batman Damned number 2, book 2 by the DC Black Label Publishing imprint. Now, of course, this is that you know, we talked about number 1 and how number 1 had the
Batwang
in it.
Batman's penis.
And this one, okay, well, yeah, I think we get
no,
it.
No, Bruce Wayne's penis.
Bro, it's the same guy, isn't it?
Is it?
Well, I would usually, yeah.
Does it transform like he does?
If you're asking if he puts
on I
don't think
this
he puts on a costume on it or anything like that.
How do you know?
I don't.
Right.
But, you know,
let's leave that alone.
Anyways, let's just not go there. What I do want to talk about is the fact that this... If you put aside the whole Batawang controversy, as some people like to call it.
Controversy.
This is a great book.
Right.
The problem with Batman Damned number 1 is that it was overshadowed by the controversy around...
By the shadow. Right.
So it's a great book on its own, and you know what? It's you really need to check it out. And Batman Damned number 2
Chris,
is great.
This is like a silly analogy, but
go ahead. You're full of silly things anyway.
I like a lot of mix of music, but every now and then there was this one James Brown video that I liked.
Okay.
Right? On YouTube, I think it was an old "There Was a Time," and it was great, and it had great music. It was a live recording in 68, and the band was just tight, and the funk was there. And it was just so fantastic. And of course, it had a montage of James Brown dancing through the ages.
Right.
And then around the 2 minute mark,
yeah,
for like for 4 seconds in the 1980s, it had like Michael Jackson on stage with him.
Oh, interesting.
Doing
the
moonwalk, And then, so, you know how when you watch video, you love looking at the comments saying, oh, this is great. I love this or whatever. I hate this, whatever. Well, the whole video is hijacked by Michael Jackson.
Right.
So it's like, enjoy the music.
Yeah.
And then people are going, hey, James Brown introduced the moonwalk.
Right.
No, that was Michael Jackson. The other guy's going like, that's not the point. The point is a small little thing, pardon my pun.
Well, have you looked at Batman Damned?
Right. It kind of took away from the body of work that you're supposed to be enjoying.
Overshadowed.
Yeah, it is his thing. So what's interesting about Batman Damned, and I think we talked about it when the first one came out, is that... What other superhero in the comic book superhero genre, like pure superhero, lends himself as well to adult-themed writing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Than Batman.
Right, absolutely. Right?
Certainly not Spider-Man.
No, not at all. Not even a little.
But Batman is it.
But, you know, I think you've keyed into something there.
I did?
Yeah, absolutely. Why can't we have an adult-themed Spider-Man? Spider-Man, you know, of any of the Marvel heroes... lives and breathes more of the issues that the everyday hero, the everyday person has, more so than any other character in the Marvel Universe. So why can't we have a darker, more adult-themed Spider-Man where, you know, he's, you know, I don't know, he's a little bit more adult-themed. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, I guess. I think they're trying to, like, Daredevil seems to have been...
Daredevil was one of them, but you know what? Why not? Here's the thing. Why do you always have to go to the characters that are in the shadows?
Right, like Batman, Daredevil. Yeah.
Why can't you have an adult-themed Superman comic? Why can't you have an adult-themed Spider-Man comic? Because you know why? I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because it's too easy to write a dark version of a character than an adult-themed light version of a character. Because for some reason, our North American mindset always goes to how, in order for it to be good, it's got to be dark. And that's the problem that the DC movies have had.
Right.
And yet Marvel has shown that, you know, hey, what? We can have great movies and still have it be light.
Right.
So why can't we have an adult-themed Spider-Man or Captain America or anything?
Well, I don't know, Chris. That's a good question.
I'm just saying. Right? Well, maybe Marvel should have their own Marvel Black Label imprint.
Black Label imprint. Well, all I know what Chris wants for Christmas.
What's that?
He wants a Dark Marvel.
A Dark Marvel.
And who knows? Maybe you'll get it because I know the execs down in New York.
You never know, right?
Listen to this show.
You never know. Hey, anyways, Batman Damned.
Batman Damned, Book 2. Is at your local comic book shop.
All right. And case in point. The Batman Who Laughs is out today. Number one.
Yes.
So the Batman Who Laughs, in case you weren't too sure, is a character that I believe first appeared through Titans comic. But he's basically become this sort of, crazy version of Batman. Almost even crazier than...
The Joker.
The Batman Who Laughs, number one, comes out today. It's got awesome art. It is by Snyder, and it's got awesome art by Jacques. There is a couple of variants out there, and there's certainly some, store variants as well. So they're going to be hot to trot, I'm sure.
Wow. This kind of looks challenging just looking at it.
Yeah, but this proves my point that Batman can have a dark, more adult-themed kind of book. But we're not seeing the Superman Who Laughs. Well, who knows? Maybe I just gave away a new idea to somebody down in D.C. We have the Superman Who Laughs and the Wonder Woman Who Laughs.
Hey, and you think you're ever going to get a dinner?
Not a dinner. Nothing. Nothing for nobody.
Never got a dinner.
Yeah, I know.
Batman Who Laughs, part one of six. Hey, it's written by Zack Snyder, so... is it Zack Snyder or Josh Snyder?
Is it Jim Snyder?
Bill Snyder?
Bill Snyder the
Bill
third.
Bill Sienkiewicz.
Who is it now? Now you got me all discombobulated here. It's Scott Snyder.
That's it. Zack Snyder's his brother, the one that directs the movies.
He's the one that does the movies, yes. See.
All right. What else we got?
Okay, what else we got here? Just in time for Christmas, we have the Hellboy Winter Special. And the only thing I don't like about Hellboy these days is that for the most part...
Is the Hellboy part?
No, I love Hellboy. But Mike Mignola doesn't do the art on the inside. Now, I'm not saying the art on the inside is not great.
But it's not Mike Mignola.
Mignola usually has some of the story ideas. He usually does the cover, but I would rather see him do the stories on the inside.
That's a lot of work now, Chris, when you're the big wheel.
He is a big wig down in the Cracker Factory, so uh-huh.
All right. Hellboy, the Winter Special from Dark Horse Comics is at your local comic book shop.
And it being Christmas, I thought we'd go continue on with the dark path of things. We went with, Batman Damned, Batman Who Laughs, Hellboy, and so why not a little Star Wars Darth Maul? This is another Christmas great here. Darth Maul, Star Wars Age of the Republic, Dark Maul number one comes out today. Art by Luke Ross, written by Jody Hauser.
Hauser.
So, if you're a Star Wars fan and you're looking for a little Darth Maul to wet your whistle, Darth Maul, Star Wars Age of the Republic, number one.
Hey, it's my job.
Oh, sorry.
Star Wars Age of the Republic, number one, by Doogie Howser is at your local comic book shop.
And finally, we have, it's about time he got his own book. Well, I guess he kind of had his own book for a while, but it's Miles Morales, Spider-Man. Yeah, with a new creative team, new direction, and new, apparently it says right on the cover here, your new favorite book. So this is Miles Morales. Now, Miles Morales was, he's sort of, I don't know what you want to call it. He's the,
kid?
People were calling him the social justice Spider-Man because he's Latino and, lots of other things going on there. But, I like the character. I think it's a great character. I don't see why we can't have Miles Morales in the Spider-Man universe as well.
It's been a massive success.
Huge success.
Love him.
Yeah, people love him. So, Miles Morales, Spider-Man.
Miles Morales, Spider-Man. Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
What do you call it? The animated movie.
Into the Spider-Verse.
That's a big hit, right?
Huge hit, yeah.
Yeah, everybody loves it. And that's Miles Morales in that.
He is in that, yes. Right. He is. Wonderful. But he's not the only one in that.
Okay.
But he is in that, but right. Yes.
Okay. Miles Morales, Spider-Man number one is at your local comic book shop today. And, hey, go in and check out everything that's at your local comic book shop.
All right, listen, let's have a quick musical interlude here. And I'm going to stick with the Grinch theme. So let's go with Trim Up the Tree.
Trim up the tree with Christmas stuff, like bingo balls and hoop hoop fluff. Trim up the tree with goo goo gums and bears so big and ones.
Trim every blessed window and trim every blessed door.
Hang up hoo boo hoo bricks,
then run up get some more.
Hang bantukas on the ceiling, pile pampunas on the floor. Trim every blessed needle on the blessed Christmas tree. Christmas comes tomorrow, trim you, trim me. Trim up the tree with fuzz oh fuzz and blip for bloops and wuzz oh wuzz. Trim up your uncle and your aunt with yards of
wonderful, wonderful.
Did you like that one?
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Very festive, very gets us in the mood.
Oh, it really does.
To continue our Christmas show.
Continue the old Christmas show. Hey, speaking of Christmas shows,
no?
You know what? I think we should talk about our favorite covers.
Yeah, after we read a sponsor.
Oh, well, we can do that too.
Okay.
All right.
Our favorite Christmas covers. No, they're not even Christmas covers. They're our favorite covers you know that what? We
they're
would like
even,
for
they're,
Christmas.
They're not, they're ones we would like to have for Christmas.
Yeah. Is brought to us by returning sponsor.
Returning.
The returns were good for him last week.
Nice.
Scott Vanderplug's new and improved diet. Vanderplug Diet Club Soda.
Diet Club Soda.
It's the same great taste.
But half the calories.
But half the calories.
Nice.
And you get it in that same 24-ounce refill bottle.
Nice. Nice. Mm-hmm. That's
so
good.
So try Vanderplug Diet Club Soda.
All right. So listen, you and I were talking earlier about comics that we would love to have based on the... What? You're well, pausing
yeah,
me.
Yeah, we gave ourselves a challenge.
A challenge.
That we wanted the 12 covers of Christmas.
12 covers of Christmas.
So we were going to rhyme off 12 covers of Christmas, but they had to correspond to the day.
Right.
So I want covered, like the 12th cover of Christmas has to be a number 12.
Right.
And the 7th cover of Christmas
right.
has to be a number 7.
Okay.
Right?
Let's do it.
So we each came up with our own covers of Christmas.
Okay.
And we are really, really, really going to jump the shark here.
You may want to turn the volume down
all
on
right.
this one. Yeah.
Because Chris and I are going to try to sing our 12
are
covers.
Are we
going to
sing each other's?
Yeah, we have to sing together.
Oh, boy.
Each other's because that's
okay.
going to help the for the tone
okay,
deaf and hearing
right.
impaired. All right.
All right.
So well, it's on the 12th. Day of Christmas.
Right.
Who's going to give us?
Do you
who's
going to
give us the covers? Who's going to give us the covers?
What do you mean? Oh,
it's only at the beginning.
Our true love.
Our true love. Okay.
True love. On the 12th day of
Christmas my
true
love
gave
to
me
Giant Comics edition
number 12.
On the 11th
day
of
Christmas,
my
true
love
gave to
me
Fantastic Four number 11. Now, hold on. Wait, these are all mine.
Yeah, well, we're reading yours.
We're reading mine first?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
On the
10th
day
of
Christmas,
my
true
love
gave
to
me
Avengers
Annual
number 10.
On
the
9th
day
of Christmas,
my
true love
gave
to
me
Weird
Terror
number 9.
On
the
8th
day
of
Christmas,
my
true
love
gave
to
me
Daredevil
number
8.
On the 7th day of Christmas,
my
true love
gave
to
me
Captain
America
number
7.
On the 6th day of Christmas, my true love
gave
to me
Secrets
of
the Sinister
House
number
6. On
the
5th
day
of
Christmas,
my
true love
gave
to me
Marvel
Spotlight 5.
On
the
4th
day of Christmas,
my
true love
gave
to me
Fantastic
Four
number
4.
On
the
3rd
day
of Christmas,
my
true love
gave
to
me
Suspense
Comics
number
3.
On
the
2nd
day
of
Christmas,
my
true love
gave
to
me
Incredible
Hulk
number
2.
On
the
4th
day
of
Christmas,
my
true love
gave
to
me
Batman
number
1. Nice,
nice.
Chris.
You like that?
Yeah.
That was good.
Now, Let's go a recap. Giant Comics Edition 12.
Yes.
That's that classic Baker cover.
Classic Baker cover with the prostitute, not really Christmassy kind of cover. Christy, but you know what?
Nazi boy. It's a great cover.
It's a great cover.
FF number 11. Great Kirby cover with the Impossible Man. Lots of purples on that.
First appearance of the Impossible Man.
Oh, I love that cover.
Avengers Annual number 10.
Okay, what's is that Rogue?
First Rogue.
That's a busy cover.
It's a busy cover. It's got like that A kind of thing in the front. Yeah,
it's red.
Yeah.
Okay.
Weird Terror number 9.
You love that esoteric terror horror stuff.
It's just got a great cover. It's got a weird looking monster thing on it. It's awesome.
Well, if anybody likes weird looking monsters, Chris, it's me. You. Daredevil number 8.
Daredevil number 8. Stiltman.
That's, you know what? Out of the top, like, out of the first 10 Daredevil covers, number 8's my favorite.
It's a great cover.
Yeah, the Stiltman cover is a great cover.
The angle of the city and
everything. Yeah. I think my favorite Daredevil cover is 16 with Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
It's the gray cityscape in the background. Yeah, so if you ever get a high grade one of that, it looks great.
Captain America number 7.
Yeah,
I love that book.
You were telling me we were talking about comics in your collection last weekend, and you love that Cap 7.
Love the Cap 7. You know, Cap 7 is so iconic. It's got don't get me wrong, it's not that I'm into this stuff, but you know, it's got a classic bondage cover.
Uh-huh.
It's got classic villains on it. Yep. It's got the Red Skulls in it. Like, it's got everything going for it.
Right.
And you know what? I still say that it is the true Red Skull first appearance, because that's the second appearance, but the first Red Skull died, and this is the Red Skull that we know and love now.
That's right.
So this is it's the true first appearance of the Red Skull.
Undervalued spotlight
Undervalued spotlight.
Okay. Number 6. So, and again, you love these gothic
horrors.
Secrets of Sinister House, all of them.
Yeah.
You know, number 6 is a great cover.
Great cover, yep. Marvel Spotlight 5, Ghost Rider.
That is a nice cover.
First Ghost Rider.
Dark, black cover.
Yeah.
Hard to get in high grade.
Yeah.
In high grade.
Fantastic Four number 4.
Oh, another classic Kirby cover.
Submariner.
Yep.
Suspense Comics number 3.
Now, I would say...
Yeah.
That is the comic cover.
I would say that too. I would say that ever. I agree. That's
like no other comic cover is coveted for the cover appeal.
Yeah.
As much as that comic cover.
No, I mean not just for strictly cover appeal.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No way.
It's hands down.
Hands down.
The cover
really,
to have.
It should be a nothing comic.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But the cover is so iconic.
Alex Schomburg, the composition of the cover, it's just like the gold standard.
Yeah.
You know.
Look it up.
Yeah. Incredible Hulk number 2. Great cover.
Gray Hulk.
You got a lot of Kirby on your list.
I know.
You're
I like Kirby.
Fan.
I like Kirby. Of course, Batman number 1.
Right.
How can you Batman not like number Batman number 1?
Great cover. Yeah. Iconic cover.
All right. Walters.
Right.
12 covers
of
Christmas.
So to save the torture
for
these people, we'll do the... 8 Lords of Leaf and 7 we won't visit on the 10th day.
All right. So
we've already sung the 12 days.
Okay.
So what we'll do is, again, because we cherish the listener.
We do. And if you're still listening, we appreciate it. We feel sorry
for you. You're toughing it out.
You're toughing it out.
So we're throwing you a bone.
It's good, yeah.
So we're going to go 12, 11, 10.
Okay.
Number 10.
Okay, you start and I'll come along.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love
gave
to
me
Detective Comics number 12. Startling Terror Comics number 11. Tomb of Dracula
number 10.
Amazing Spider-Man Annual 9.
Submariner number 8.
Swamp Thing number 7.
Revealing Romance is
number 6.
Nick Fury 5.
Silver Surfer 4,
Suspense Comics 3,
Mask number 2,
and Marvel Treasury Edition number 1.
That was terrible.
That was way quicker.
I love
that. That was good.
More painful, but...
But overdone.
Over...
Like tearing the Band-Aid
quicker,
off.
Quicker, exactly. Yeah. It's like waxing with the strip.
Right.
You just go zoom.
Yeah, it's done.
You know?
Yeah. It's done.
The other way, the first one was like a laser treatment.
Yeah, it just kept on going.
All right.
So Detective Comics 12.
Craig Flessel.
Flessel.
That's of all the pre-Batman texts, you guys got to look this up. It's the one where the villain, the crook.
Yeah.
He's lighting his cigarette with his own wanted poster.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
so he's got his wanted poster scrunched up on fire, and he's lighting his cigarette. Great, awesome, kind of noir.
Love it.
Startling Terror Tales 11.
That's the spider one, right?
Yeah. Classic L.B. Cole spider holding the two people. It's kind of Tomb of Dracula 10. Great Gil Kane.
Gil Kane's so underrated.
Oh, he's a great artist. Underrated. Great artist. Yeah. Amazing Spider-Man Annual 9, Chris.
Now, that's, which one's that?
Remember Spidey 39, Romita's great first Spider-Man work?
Yeah.
Where Green Goblin is flying away and he's got Spider-Man kind of...
Yes, wrapped up.
Wrapped up.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's kind of a redoing of that one.
And a bit of an homage to
himself. Submariner 8.
Great. That's the all black one.
Fantastic all black. John Buscema. It's a battle cover with the Thing and the Submariner.
Yes, yes.
And when I was growing up, that was the one to have in high grade. There was a few of them to have in high grade. There was FF-112.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the Thing and the Hulk.
Right.
Subby 8
yeah.
was the Thing and Submariner.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there was a lot of these great battle covers. Yeah, and those were the two black jet black ones. Because there was Defenders number 10 with Thor... and the Hulk.
Right.
You know,
right.
And those were all like, they were all like really must-haves.
Yep.
And just the Subby 8 was that jet black one.
That's cool. Yeah, that's awesome.
Swamp Thing 7.
Which one's that one?
That's the Batman Bernie Wrightson
cover. That's a great one.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's awesome. Love that
one. Yeah, the Batman one,
Now, you have to look this up. Revealing Romance is number 6.
Okay.
Alex Raymond, Redmond, sorry, a painted cover. Just beautiful kind of romance cover, which I like the cheesy ones.
Yeah, I know you like the cheese,
Nick Fury 5.
Now, is that the psychedelic one with the cubes?
That is the classic Starenko homage to Dolly, I think.
Right.
No, homage to Dolly is number 7. It's the classic Starenko kind of movie poster cover art, you know.
You have
to see it.
Oh yeah, look it up.
Surfer 4.
It's great. That is of all the Surfer covers, that's probably the most classic in my opinion.
Yeah.
With him fighting Thor. And,
Thor coming down. Surfer's coming down. Thor.
Thor's got that classic pose. Yeah, that's
John
awesome.
Buscema did that. Yeah. That was inked by his brother Sal.
You got a lot of Buscema here on your list here.
I noticed. The only one you and I crossed over was Suspense 3.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Great comic by Alex Schomburg.
Mask.
Mask number 2. It's my second L.B. Cole. It's probably the best. There's a whole subgenre of collecting of devil covers.
Right.
And Mask number 2 is probably the most coveted of all devil covers comics.
Yep.
And for me, Chris, the most iconic image of Spider-Man. Is that image on the front cover of Marvel Treasury Edition number 1. That's that red cover.
The red one, right?
Where he's kind of kneeling down. Yeah. He's got that pose.
Classic Spider-Man pose.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Romita. Yeah. It's like the height of Spider-Man for me. That image encompasses Spidey.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I just, you know, that was my...
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
so much to the point in my shop in Niagara, I use that image on a sign outside.
Right. Yeah. And you have a little... don't you have a little pewter paperweight?
That's right. Wonderful.
Yeah. Listen, that's awesome. You know what? Hey, and if any of our listeners want to get any of those covers for us, we'd be happy to.
Yeah, for Christmas. We'll take either one. Chris and I will both love a copy of number 3.
Sure, no problem. Yeah, no problem.
Well, anyone will do.
In fact, we'll even chip in a little bit.
Right.
But, not a lot, but a little bit. Yeah.
A little bit.
Listen, let's have a quick musical interlude. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about. What are we going to talk about this year?
Let's talk about the year past.
We'll do a bit of a recap here. But first, why don't we have some more Grinch?
You're a mean one. You're a mean one. You're a mean one. Mr.
Okay. You want the real one?
I like that.
You want the real one? Fine.
All right.
There you go.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole.
Wow. I didn't know poles were that tall.
You've got garlic in your soul.
Hey, I got garlic in my soul.
Do you really?
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, well.
That's wow. Hey, you know what? You played that little bit of the one.
Did you like that?
No, it's good.
You're a mean one.
But my point is, aren't the originals always the best?
Oh, for sure, for sure. The originals are always. I played that just to see what you the look on your face.
Was it disdain?
It was shock, then disdain. Yeah. Then I realized I had already overstepped my boundaries.
That's right. That's right. You got to keep it pure. You got to keep it simple. Pure.
Yep. That's right.
What do you call it? We're moving on.
Part deux.
Minister News, Batras by Elijah Craig. Club soda, the small batch club soda, straight out of Kentucky.
Straight out of Kentucky.
They rolled the barrels.
All the way to Ontario.
All the way to Ontario, right. Just for this show.
Hey, so you want to talk about a recap. Are we going to recap movies or comics?
Well, we'll do a little bit of both. Well, so
which one you want to do first?
Let's do movies first.
We'll do movies first, okay.
Now, man, okay. One, two, three, four, five. I'm going to name you five superhero movies, really quickly.
Yep.
Okay. Venom, Ant-Man, Deadpool 2, Avengers, Black Panther.
Yep.
Of those five, how many did you see?
You said Avengers, Black Panther, Deadpool, and Ant-Man?
And Venom.
I saw four out of the five.
Which one didn't you see?
Venom. I have not seen Venom yet.
Right.
And for no reason other than it came out at a weird time in the summer.
And no, it came out late fall, September.
It came out late September,
I think.
That was August.
Was it? Okay, maybe.
Anyway, it came out at a weird time where I was just busy.
Right, yeah. Right? School year was starting,
uh-huh. And I couldn't get around to getting out, and I just got busy with stuff. So I didn't get a chance to see it. But interestingly enough, there's, of the top six movies in the domestic category, we'll call it.
Uh-huh.
The one you didn't mention was Incredibles.
I'm sorry, yeah. Incredibles only because... Incredibles was a... They're counting it as a superhero movie, but I think it was... Isn't Incredibles a Pixar property?
Pixar, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I was just basically going with comic book movies. Sure, so yeah. They're counting it as a comic book movie?
Yeah.
I'm not.
I get that.
So...
So now, these were... Now, one thing I didn't ask you, this list that you have here... Is it just comic book movies?
Just comic book movies, okay, yeah. So there may have been other films that, you know, that would have ended up in fourth place or something like that. But definitely first and second and probably third.
Yeah.
It's definitely first and second were ruled by the two. I only seen one of them. I've only seen Avengers.
Oh, you have? So you haven't seen Black Panther yet?
I haven't seen any of these yet.
You know what? Yeah.
I'm working on it, though.
Yeah, should. You need to see these movies.
I will.
I think Black Panther's got to be out on Netflix by now, or if not soon.
I think it might be. Yeah, I think it might be. So it's on my list. It's on my list.
On your list? All right. I'll even lend it to you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. But the good thing, I guess, we want to recap is that, guys, this is a... Guys, I feel like Christopher Walken there.
Guys.
This is the best year in Hollywood history
for
superhero
for
movies.
Comic book related movies.
I think we should all give everybody, each other, a pat on the back for a job well done. And you know that the media that you and I, Chris Champion, local comic book shop, comic books in general,
you know what?
Have had a banner year at the
so
movies.
Okay, so you and I have been doing this show for 10 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were saying 10 years ago that, you know, the comic book movies, comic books, was the unsung genre that people were just starting to find out about.
Right.
And I think, if nothing else, this proves what we were talking about 10 years ago.
Right.
How, you know, people were finding out what we already knew for decades, mm-hmm. that how great comic books were.
Right.
And the stories and the characters and all that kind of stuff, right. How awesome they are.
Right.
And now this just proves it. So we had, those were the domestic tallies. So the domestic take... I was surprised to see this, that Black Panther actually made more money domestically than Avengers Infinity War.
Wow, yeah, that is basically $679 million for Avengers and $700 million for Black Panther.
So it's not like it was, I mean, okay.
Neck and neck.
Wait, okay, right. $21 million, though, that's right. A lot.
Well, that's, yeah, that's like 3%.
That's quite a bit.
Yeah, 3%.
So it's not that close. I mean, it's close, but it's not that close.
100 to 97, basically, on a
right.
scale.
Yeah, yeah.
On a relative scale.
So, but if you look at, but then if you look at the international, we have Avengers Infinity War blows everybody out of the water.
Right.
Like, it's $1.3 billion.
Almost $1.37 billion.
And the closest one was Black Panther with 600. You know, 46 million.
Right. Yeah. Which is huge.
Still huge but money.
Over, like, less than half of yeah. the Avengers. So.
And then overall, we have Avengers Infinity War made over $2 billion worldwide.
Yeah.
And Black Panther made 1.3
yeah,
four,
with the Incredibles making 1.2 yeah. plus Venom. I love the fact that Venom beat out Deadpool and Ant-Man and Wasp.
I was shocked. But yes. You know what? I haven't seen it yet, but Venom's done very well. I know
internationally.
Internationally, yeah. Yes. Extremely.
Now, when
well
you look at Venom internationally, that's actually the number four superhero movie internationally. It's well ahead of Deadpool. It's sixth of this list domestically.
Well, yeah, it's funny. If you look
but it's fourth. You know, just literally 1% behind, not even 1%, like a half a percent behind Incredibles number two
yeah.
internationally. It's,
yeah, yeah.
It's rocked internationally.
Yeah, it rocked.
Right?
And, yeah,
it almost made Black Panther numbers internationally. Like
right.
The difference
right.
between 1, 2, and 3 internationally, sorry, 2, 3, and 4 internationally
yeah.
is like 646 million, 632 million, 631 million.
Yeah, it's not a lot.
Yeah, so no. Venom... just rocked internationally. I'd like to know why. Like,
people love it.
You know what? It's funny because you and I talked about this many times over the years. How comic books in per se are a American phenomenon,
right?
Right.
Right.
And how consumption of superheroes is skewed American,
right?
Right.
Right. Right.
And Venom. I thought of all of these, Venom would be the most lopsided.
Yeah.
Domestically.
Yeah, no,
and it was the absolute opposite.
The absolute
and I can't
opposite,
figure
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you know what? Now I know that it hasn't come out yet in domestically, but recently Aquaman came out last weekend in China and made $93 million in one weekend in China. So you know what? Who know? You know, sometimes we just don't know what we know, right? Like we don't like all of a sudden
we don't
Aquaman
know what
well.
We know.
Yeah.
I love it, Chris. Can I use that one?
You can.
Now, here's the interesting part because the movie landscape has changed and when they're writing movies and when they're filming movies and when they're casting movies,
yeah.
How much the international market is significant now.
Okay.
Of all these six movies, only one of these six movies outperformed domestically. Like, domestically... Only the Black Panther did better domestically
right.
than it did internationally.
Right.
Only
right.
the Black Panther.
Yeah. Yeah.
The rest of them were like heavily skewed, almost doubling their gate, their
yeah.
take.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you look at Avengers Infinity War, $678 million versus 1.3 almost, you know, so double, really,
yeah.
really one third of their take was home,
yeah.
two thirds of their take
yeah,
was a
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
And same thing with the, Venom, it did, you know, where's Venom? 200 million local, sorry, not in domestically,
yeah.
600 million.
It's not just, like, it's more than doubled, it almost
it's quadrupled.
Tripled, yeah.
Yeah, like, tripled. Like yeah. one quarter
yeah.
Of its take
it's crazy.
Was domestically.
Crazy.
So, you know, going forward with all these superhero movies in 2019, we're now making movies for worldwide consumption.
Yeah, totally.
Whereas we really weren't before.
I agree, yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The rest of the world was kind of saying, hey, what's going on over there? We like those movies. We'll watch them.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But they were everything about
they're
them
really
was...
really taking notice now.
Yeah,
really
everything about yeah. them was domestic before, but
yeah.
now it seems like in the last, I would say, 6-7 years, we've really noticed that...
Well, and of course, the Avengers Infinity War Endgame trailer came out last weekend as
That's
well.
That's right.
And,
what'd you think of that?
Well, you know what? It doesn't really show a whole lot.
Which I like, by
which
the
I
way.
Like, which I like. Which I like. Now, here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
I'm hearing rumors that some of the scenes may be fake, right? So, which...
Explain that to me. My head hurts already.
Okay, so if you look at the original Avengers Infinity War trailer...
Yeah.
It had, say for example, it had a scene where the Incredible Hulk was running in Wakanda.
Yeah.
The Incredible Hulk is never in Wakanda.
Right.
In the actual movie.
Right.
Spoiler alert. Just rewind it. Pretend we never said that.
That's right.
So they put it in the trailer to try to, like, you know.
Red herring?
Yeah. So, and I'm hearing that there could be red herrings in this trailer as well. So we don't really know if this trailer is even it's legit, but we don't know how legitimate it is, even though it's from the actual movie studio.
Wow, that's too complicated for me.
Oh, come on, it's not complicated. It's just saying that, you know what, they might be putting stuff in there that might not actually be in the actual movie. So we don't know. Now, interestingly enough, it's talking about the Avengers Infinity War trailer. So you saw it.
Yes, I did.
Okay, so the spoiler alert, beep, 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 beep. If you haven't seen the trailer yet, there is a scene where you see Iron Man or Tony Stark is sort of lost in space.
Marooned in space. Yeah.
So I don't know if you heard about the stories about how apparently there's been NASA, so the National American Space Agency,
yeah,
has been inundated with tweets and texts and emails.
Help the guy out!
Help Tony Stark!
Would you send something up there,
yeah,
for Christ's sake?
Go save him!
Yeah.
So apparently,
but you got a probe.
So apparently they finally sent out their own tweet saying, like, you know,
a mission is on its way.
Mission's on its way. Uh-huh. We're going to avenge this or something like
Chris,
that.
Chris, I'm sure,
you know,
we've talked about this on a past Christmas show, but when I was a kid, I was absolutely enamored. Like, I wasn't that bright a kid. You know?
Oh, come on now.
No, I wasn't that bright a kid. I know what you're thinking, but don't go there. CKOC Hamilton.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Like 1974, let's say, 73. I was 9 years old. You know? CKOC Hamilton,
yep,
you know, it was the big, powerful AM radio
station.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like
it was
chum
big for
AM.
A long time, yeah.
Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
They'd have the NORAD.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. NORAD is tracking
Santa Claus, yeah.
And, you know, they got a... we got a visual on a unidentified object leaving the North Pole. It's like, oh, my God, he's on his way.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
I was... Oh.
They still do that. They still,
I know.
They do it on computers now. Now you can actually go on to, like, the NASA or the NORAD website, and you can still track Santa.
Seriously?
Right? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, 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 you can still do that.
I fell for that.
What do you mean you fell? What do you mean fell
I mean,
for it?
I mean, no. I tracked it.
You tracked
it.
Yeah, yeah.
It, Chris,
well, yeah, I still track him every year.
You still do?
Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
I'm not good
sure
with technology.
I know. It's
so,
fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Good for you.
Yeah. So, anyways, interesting that NASA is gonna, you know, tweeting with Marvel. Let's,
wow.
Let's
well,
have
hold
a quick,
on. Hold on. Let's
I
do.
I have a musical interlude.
No, we got to tackle the... while we're on it.
All right. You want to tackle comics?
Yeah, tackle comics while we got it.
All right. All right. Let's tackle
so
comics.
So we just discussed the superhero movies that happened.
Yep.
At your local comic book shop, there were some big hits.
Big hits.
I would say the surprise of the year probably was that Batman Damned number one.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
100%.
That injected a lot of energy into the market.
Yep.
That injected a lot of energy into comic book
yep,
shops.
Yep.
That got people talking on the internet.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was cool. That's what you want to see.
But there weren't a lot of people that were... buying it.
Well, that's only because there wasn't any available.
Right.
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 You know?
So
these were available in plenty.
Plentiful.
Okay. So we've got a list of, you know, I think this is based on shipments from Diamond.
Yes.
Who's the distributor.
Not
to
actual,
the local comic
not
shop.
Actual sales.
Yeah, not on actual sales.
Yeah.
So, but you know what? Based on this list, I'm sure
yeah,
most
you,
of
you
them.
You get a rough idea.
Yeah, most yeah. of them were selling.
Yep.
So, Chris, what was the number one comic in terms of units sold in 2018.
Now, this is not surprising at all because it was a momentous occasion. Action Comics number 1,000. Now, even at its $8 price tag.
U.S.
U.S., which is what, $85 Canadian?
Yeah, $92, I think, today.
Yeah. So, even at that price, it still sold over 500,000 copies. So, you
wow.
know what... but you know what?
That's a momentous occasion.
I don't normally buy Action Comics, but uh-huh. I think I bought at least two or three copies because there was different covers, and I liked the covers. They did a thing where it was like they did a different cover for every decade that it was.
That's had existed, right. They had a 50s style cover, a 40s style 70s, cover, all that 70s kind of stuff, style you know, cover.
So,
yeah.
So I bought the ones that I enjoyed. I certainly didn't buy the ones I didn't like, but I bought multiple copies of it. So I'm not surprised that it sold 500,000 because you get an old time collector like myself.
Old time collector.
Buying multiple copies as well as other people buying it for. Yeah, for what do you call it? You know, nostalgic sake, right? Yeah, so yeah. That one didn't surprise me.
Okay, the big wedding issue of Batman.
Batman number 50.
Yes,
that
which kind of wasn't a wedding.
It was kind of a wah wah wah.
Yeah, but they pulled the wool over our eyes.
They did. But I'm not surprised. But again, that's considering it was only issue number 50, and it was still. It was a Batman quasi-wedding issue, but not really.
Right.
It still sold 440,000 copies.
But the cool thing about that is Batman's wedding, you know, because we didn't know beforehand.
Right.
It generated...
Lots of interest.
Tons of interest. Lots of interest, you know? Yeah. So lots of excitement, again, around an event like Batman's wedding.
Yep.
Generated the number two comic of this year.
Right.
Okay, so number three... Spidey 800.
This one kind of surprised me.
Right.
Because it's not a really... It shouldn't have been as big of a book as it is.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's...
Now, by the way, did you know that, just looking at the numbers here, that was the number one comic of the year in terms of money? So if it's 10, if you think about 10 right. times 438, that's 4.38 million
right.
versus 8 times 500,000, which is 4 million.
Right.
Actually, Spidey number 800 earned a little bit more than Action number 1000 in terms of the gate
and
through the
till. And you say you weren't very bright when you were a kid. You know,
I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, so that's cool. And then let's spend a little bit. It said 438,000 copies
that
of that
one, yep.
sold through. And at a $10 price sticker, that
yes,
was
that's big.
A good orders. Fantastic Four number one was the fourth largest selling comic
as
of 2018.
As it should be, because it was the return of the great Fantastic Four. And you know what? A lot of people were very happy to see the return.
Tons of pent-up demand. As we know, you and I were discussing it over the last couple of years, the kind of industrial sabotage that was going on with... Marvel not printing a Fantastic Four
right.
comic because they didn't want to do the property any justice as they were trying to vie for the property from Fox.
Right. Basically, Ike Perlmutter didn't want to have anything to do with Fox owning the Fantastic Four number,
right.
you know, franchise. So,
right.
you know what?
So, hey, we're not helping you out by publishing a monthly comic.
That's right.
And finally, when they did get around to it, it was great to see the people's response.
Yep.
Comic shops ordered in droves, and it's sold in droves out of comic shops.
Yep.
So
yep.
That,
yep.
That's good. Then we got a big fall off to Spidey number one.
Right.
290. Now, I might be wrong. I don't think I am wrong. I think what it did, because you know how Marvel is, Spidey 800 came, and then they went right to Spidey 1.
Right.
So under the, what do you call that, heritage?
Legacy numbering?
Legacy numbering. Yeah, yeah. I think it's 801, really.
It is, yes.
Yeah.
But it's
so,
number one, yeah.
A Return of Wolverine was number six.
Yeah, which I still don't get.
Yeah.
But the kind of a surprising one, the next one, was the Venom number one was number seven.
Uh-huh.
And so that was still over 240,000 copies. And then, of course, you know, it looks like people just love Spider-Man because 8 and 9 are...
the 798, 799.
Neck and neck here, right?
Yeah, and that was, Chris, I think that... I forget the character's name. It was the Hobgoblin and Carnage amalgamating into a character.
Right, and that's exactly what it was,
yeah, and so there was a lot of speculation and excitement about this new villain being created.
Right.
And so that's why 798, 799, and there were also the lead-ups to 800.
Yeah.
So that whole trifecta there. And then we'll cap out at number 10, Chris, with Justice League number 1.
Yep.
So of the top 10, and that sold 204,000 units, Justice League number 10. So the top 10, there wasn't one comic that dipped under 200,000.
No, that's good to see.
And of the top 10, we got 1, 2, 3 were Spideys, 4, 5, 6. 6 of the 10 were Marvels.
Yeah, yeah. But I do want to point out that Captain America, my favorite, Number one came in at number 14 there with 171,000 copies.
Which, wonderful. So let's hope when we do this time next year, we'll see even healthier numbers.
Wouldn't that be nice? All right, listen. Let's go back to some more Christmas stuff
here. How far you want to go back?
let's do this one here.
Sweet, Chris, sweet.
You know that one. You know that one, right?
Of course I do. I'll let you tell everybody.
That one is Linus and Lucy from the Charlie Brown Christmas Special.
Right on. I love it. Hey, Chris, brings us to part trois.
Part trois.
Of Industry News. And part trois of Industry News is brought to you by your local comic book shop, Club Soda.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, you know what?
We should start...
Well, your patron, your proprietor of your local comic book shop needs that case in the back.
That is true.
To keep him or her going.
Yeah, that is
so
true.
So you can do your part by going into your local comic book shop and show him or her support.
Nice, nice. Listen, let's... you and I were talking earlier about the show, before the show, I should say, about, you know, it's Marvel seems to be having this renaissance, I'll call it. Mm-hmm. You know, they have the... Fantastic Four back now, and
Wolverine's
come back, yeah. And now Conan is coming
back.
Conan!
I'm back!
But, you know,
I'll be back.
What's interesting here...
See what I did there?
I like that. That's good. That was
so
good.
I did a Terminator.
You did a Terminator.
Doing Conan through Arnold's voice.
Oh, that's good. I like that. That was all good.
Right. Okay.
Keep
going.
So... Here's the thing. Conan was a Marvel comic way back in the day.
Now, 1970. I'm sure,
1970.
1970.
So, now, I know when I was a kid, let's say I was in, let's say the early 80s.
Right.
I remember having a Conan 1, which I didn't have. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
That was a big deal. The Conan 1 was a big comic at one point. Big,
still
big
is.
And it was bigger back then.
Right.
Bigger back then. Now Conan, here's what I don't understand.
Tell me what you don't understand.
Conan has always been in his own universe, I'll call it.
Yeah, and yeah, the sword and sorcery,
sword and sorcery
of the Sumeria, the Hibernian age.
Yeah. Now, even back in the day, they always kind of toyed around with, like, you know, there was even that What If comic.
That's
What if Conan lived in the Marvel today's universe? And but it seems that now Conan is actually joining the Marvel universe regular in an event in the spring called Avengers No Road Home number 6.
This is exciting.
Well, it's weird.
Yeah, it's weird
because
it's weird and exciting.
You know, now
because this is what's happening, Chris.
What's happening?
I'm going to tell you what's happening.
Tell me.
I'm going to tell you.
And tell me.
I think it's Dark Horse. The rights are reverting from Dark Horse to Marvel.
Right.
And, you know, Marvel's like this little squirrel collecting all its nuts that it's left all over the place.
Right, yeah.
And it's collecting them all. So it's, you know, grabbing the Fantastic Four from Fox. And it's grabbing Conan back from Dark Horse. And it's, you know,
and
doing all these
Return
things.
Return of Wolverine.
And then it's putting them all into their universe. So now that they've got the Marvel U can do no wrong.
Right.
It is invincible, unstoppable juggernaut.
Okay.
Any media they choose, film, TV, obviously comics.
Right.
It seems to be hitting. Like their market share spread over DC last month to 14%. I think it was 40% of the market versus 26%. So they're just the dominant player, even in the comic market. So it's like, you know, JB sitting there going, look here.
Listen here, JB.
Look here, JB. We got to get Conan into the Marvel U. Because Marvel U is gold. It's gold, JB. It's gold.
But Conan isn't part of the Marvel U.
I know. Not now. Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Yeah.
So, I told you that story about old, passed away long ago, God bless his soul, John Minich.
John Minich?
John Minich, he used to be an old collector I used to buy off of.
Name sounds really familiar.
Yeah, he used to live in Stony Creek.
Okay.
And so he would fix his own comics. He would
do
resto on
them. Right. We had our old friend Herb Pohl.
God bless him, too. Yeah, he was such a gentle man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I loved Herb Pohl.
He used to make him a little wet.
Well, John Minich, I walked in one day, and old John Minich, he was probably in his 70s at that time. This is in the 80s. And he had an Iron Man 1 on the table, and he was working on it, I go, oh, John, Iron Man 1, is it mint? And he goes, not yet.
That's great.
Oh, man.
What's that got to do with Conan?
You said not yet, and I just kind of threw a throwback. I don't know. I'm easily
distracted. All right, fair enough.
So, no, my point is this. They got to get him back in. They got to get him in. The money, Chris, Conan is a property worth money.
Right.
All the money
is in Marvel.
Is in Marvel U.
Right.
They got to shoehorn him in somehow.
But
they don't want this little parallel sub thing of they own Conan.
Okay, so here's my next question for you. Is Conan going to be the next undervalued spotlight?
I hope so.
Well, I'm just wondering because
I have to give me time to accrue them.
Accrue. You still got to give you that Terry and the Pirates number 23.
Number 11.
Number 11.
Oh, that's
a wonderful
book. So that's what's happening right now.
I just find it very strange.
You know what our problem is?
What's our problem?
You and I are two old-timer traditionalists.
Yeah.
We're sitting there going, who the hell are they getting Conan in?
And he don't belong in there. And you know what a new kid is doing that right now? He's right now saying, finally, Conan in the Marvel Universe.
Get Conan in, right? I think we should ask
Arnold
what he thinks. He'll say, I don't know what he'd say, but he'd probably agree with this.
He'll say, nice to see you.
Yes. But no, it's all good. And anyway, Chris, we ran out of time already.
We have. Hey, you know what? We do want to make sure that our listeners know that we do appreciate their comments. And, you know, it being Christmas season, please let us know what you're thinking. We do want to hear what you're saying about the Christmas season. And we do appreciate all of our listeners and wishing them a happy and healthy rest of 2017, especially over the holidays. Be safe.
Yes, please. And make sure during this holiday season you head into your local comic book shop and support your local comic book shop through the holidays, through the gift-giving season. They're great places to find great gifts for that little somebody on your list, pretty well almost every little somebody on your list. So please consider your local comic book shop as a cool source for great gifts.
Go to comicbookdaily.com.
Yes, that's right. What's this show called again?
Comic Culture
is produced and engineered by Chris Owen. We're on 93.3, McMaster's award-winning radio station. And we're at, where are we? Comicbookdaily.com, like Chris said.
And iTunes.
And you name it, we're there.
Yep.
So please, happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas and have yourself a great day. I don't know. What should I say here? Don't drink and drive?
Do not drink and drive.
But have fun out there.